Hello and welcome, David Baker, and I have my beautiful, wonderful wife, Laura, with me, and we're going to do another session on marriage. So we're going to jump right in a minute. Got a big lesson planned for this. Hopefully it'll be a help to you. And my wife and I are using a different microphone, so you can tell us, oh, bad, get rid of it, or hey, that's better. Before, we're using a little lavalier. It's a double, plugs into the back, and we both had it. And so this one, we have a one that sits in front of us. We'll show it to you. Here it goes. Ooh, changes colors. So anyway, it's right in front. So when my wife and I do a podcast, it's different because we have two people. So it's omnidirectional. So it hopefully will pick us both up. But anyway, let us know, good, bad, ugly. I can send it back if it's not good. So how's your day, dear?
Oh, it was good.
So you got done everything that you needed to get done today. Is that right?
No. That's a never.
That's a never. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, as far as need to get done, okay. But I always set my goals high, I guess. And so.
Okay. So she gets up in the morning. She puts on her paint clothes. Okay. We have a paint project going on at the house. And so I'm working on other things. And I come down about 12:30. And so how did the painting go? And she said,
I hadn't gotten to it yet.
It's 12:30, you know? I mean, she sits around all day and eats bonbons and watches soap operas and...
No, I babysit a little baby and...
He's so adorable.
He is. He's cute. And I homeschool the kids, so of course I'm helping with their schooling and then babysitting the baby and everything, so that's why I hadn't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. I'm sure my wife has never watched soap opera and doesn't know what a bonbon is, but anyway.
I don't think so.
It sounds good. So, all right, we got a joke, and then we're going to jump in. This is why men are happier. You ever wondered why men are happier? All right, she may disagree with some of these, but some are pretty cute. So, men can play with toys all their life. That's true. Especially when you got boys. Son, what kind of toy would you like? Okay. It's like, no, what kind of toy does dad like? All right. Men can have one wallet and one pair of shoes and they're good for every season. How many purses does a lady need to have? And how many shoes do they need to have?
I know.
So men can choose whether or not to grow a mustache.
That's terrible.
Ooh, that's bad. That's bad. Okay. Men can do their fingernails with a pocket knife. That's pretty good. And this one's really good. I like this one. Men's bellies usually hide their large hips.
Why? Because it overlaps. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's pretty bad. Chocolate to men is just another snack. The whole garage belongs to them. My garage. Is that true?
No.
No, it's not. Weddings take care of themselves. Now, that's true.
Well, I guess for a man.
For a man.
True.
That's why men are happier. Weddings, just tell me when to show up. What do I do? Okay. That's about it. Men never change their last names.
Oh.
That's pretty good. Everything on a man's face stays its original color. Okay, just a chuckle. All right. Men only have to shave their faces and their necks. Okay. Except when you get older, it's weird. The eyebrows, they like go crazy. And the hair on your ears, it's just like, if I didn't do something with the hair on my ears, you wouldn't see my ear.
I don't think it'd be that bad. But
I don't know. Men can keep the same hairstyle for years, even decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. I've had the same hairstyle for over 30 years since I got out of the Army.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Man can do Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on Christmas Eve in 25 minutes.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty good. For men, wrinkles add character. Men can go on a week's vacation and only pack one suitcase.
Not you.
I do pack more than my wife. I really do, because you never know what you might need. And
right.
So you got to plan for every occasion. And Seymour thinks through, okay, this day I'm wearing this. This day I'm wearing this. And yes, I do pack more than she does. So, all right, men's new shoes don't cause blisters or cut or mangle their feet.
Wow.
That is awesome. I got a new pair of boots for my birthday. Well, actually, two new pair of boots from our church, and wore them both, and wore them to no cuts, no blisters. Men don't have to think which way to turn a screw. Men have one mood all the time, and
really?
That is a bad mood.
Grumpy.
No. That's right. We're in a bad mood all the time. It's one mood. We got it. Why men are happy? A wedding dress costs $5,000 and a tux rent costs $100. And last, men can open their own jars.
Ooh. I can too.
Yes. Except when you want to make me feel good. Honey, would you open this for me?
Right.
So, all right. So last week we did dating and we talked about teenage dating and why that really isn't a good idea. If you missed that, make sure you go back. And the week before, on the Friday, Fabulous Friday, we had my daughter on and she talked about dating as a little girl, dating as a teenager, not dating, and then dating advice when you get older. And I thought that was very good. If you missed those on Friday, go back to those. All right, today we're just going to talk about six major problems of marriage. When I was in Bible college, we had a church education class, and they would talk about counseling and marriage counseling. That was one of our modules and sessions we had to go through. And they taught there were five major problems of marriage. So I wrote them down. I started counseling. I'd help people with those five things. And I started realizing, the longer I did this, that the biggest problem that people had was communication. They couldn't talk. They couldn't work through problems. It was loud and angry and upset. And it's like, boy, I need to find a way to help them with their communication. And so God gave me something. I call it How to Never Fight with Your Spouse Again. And it is good. It's part of my marriage program. And it literally just gives simple rules for how to handle a discussion. And so my wife and I started this a long time ago. It used to be bad. When we get into a fight, she would beat me. And I mean, she had this baseball bat and it was just, it was brutal. It was horrible.
He's lying.
What? That's how I remember it.
Yeah, and, right.
So I had to come up with a way, you know, some rules for fighting. And of course,
for
we
discussing.
Don't. I know exactly.
We
I was just going to say, we never have a fight. It's only a
disagreement,
a discussion.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. For, anyway, call it what you want to. But hey, 32 years married this year and 11 children and pastoring and pastor's wife and all the kind of issues that you go through, honestly, there are a lot of marriages that don't make it.
Yeah.
But, you know, for my wife, it's been easy being married to me. So many things just
take
care of themselves. So
I've learned patience and
all the ladies listen to this and go, how do you put up with that guy and still just laugh? Anyway, all right, so I want to run through them. This is a, you know, full hour. I mean, to do this with a couple, it's a few hours to go through all this. So I'm just going to hit the topics, talk a little bit about them, and then direct you if you'd like some more help. So these are not really in any order except the communication. Communication, you always start on it. Those are rules, how to discuss, how to bring up a problem. So many times what happens is we have a size 3 problem. 1 to 10, 10's the worst, 1's nothing. A size 3 problem, but we don't handle it right, so now it goes to a size 8 or size 6, and then we don't handle it back right, so it goes to a size 8, and you got a knockdown drag out when it literally could have been fixed if we'd have been ready for the 3 and handle it the right way, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And I love to help couples with this, to have a plan and rules for dating. I'm just thinking, wife, I just got home from a date, so but rules for fighting, okay? So that's what you want to be able to have. So that's one. Next is children, okay? Children are called the greatest homebreaker, okay? Doesn't have to be that way, and for us, it wasn't. God gave us a child. David was born, so we were married on June 9th. I got that down, and David was born on April 29th.
29th.
Ah, I got it, April 29th, okay?
The
next year. So not a full year. We were married a couple months and then got pregnant. Well, I didn't get pregnant. She did. So right away, we had children to deal with. And it did not break up or cause problems in our marriage and home because we knew and understood the priority of us, each other, a couple, marriage. And the child just added joy and blessing to it. We loved it. And there was never a conflict or an issue to be able to have that. And a lot of people don't. How many times, honey, have we heard when people say, you have 11 children, oh, no way, I could only handle, and they give us a number of 1 or 2 or 3, okay? And it's like, There's no way. How many times do you think we've heard that?
Oh, I couldn't count. And a lot of times they say, I have 3 and I can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I can't handle it. And so the right principles for children, and a lot of the wrong ones grow up with, our parents didn't do some things right. And so we go totally opposite of that and do more wrong than what they did. They were doing the best they knew how to do. My wife and I had good mom and dad, and we have stories that were not good. And they said, hey, we do the best. We did the best we knew how to do. My mom's heard me teach on child rearing and go, wow, son, we wish we had known that when we were rearing you. Well, what a compliment. But we took everything our parents did that was good and copied it, and things that could be made better and made them better. Of course, always just guiding by the Bible. And so many times people don't do that. And children, if they're not done right, can cause a major, major marriage problem. Have we seen that?
Yeah.
We both counseled with a couple. I counseled with them yesterday and my wife today. And there are two gigantic problems. One is communication, and number two is children. Number two is children. They have all types of disagreements about what to do and how to raise them, and it's creating all kinds of havoc. But guess what? They're getting help. They're going through my children's program and marriage program and getting help for that. So we have communication, and then we have children. Next, in-laws and outlaws. That's any outside influence on your marriage. That can be an ex-husband, ex-wife. That can be a mother-in-law or a mother-in-law or a
mother-in-law.
There's a reason why there's mother-in-law jokes. It's amazing how many times a mother-in-law will try to put her 2 or 3 or 4 cents in and create problems. And so how to handle that? And we go through a whole lesson.
And we've never had that, by the way.
We've never had. My parents, both sides, have been wonderful and let us be what we needed to be for our family and never interfered. But were there for us if we had a question and needed something. And that's the way you want to be. So if you are that in-law, let them do what they need to do. You'll help them more by influence, being there for them if they need you, than trying to make them do something. I've got 3 children that are married. You can ask each one of them. They would say, my dad, my father, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, they do not interfere at all in our family marriage. And I'm not going to. Because, boy, that causes a problem. So, in-laws, outlaws, any outside influence, have a whole lesson on how to handle that. Next is religion. Okay, religion. Some people, it doesn't cause a problem at all, but many it does. Because when they start dating and fall in love, religion many times is not that important. Then you have children, and then, okay, we need them to grow up, learning about God, and they disagree on that, and that's when it creates problems. And so that's what God talks about, not to be unequally yoked together. Make sure all of these things you talk with before. If you're not married, you need to take these things down. You need to go through a good pre-marriage counseling program to make sure you talk about all these issues. I'm amazed how many people have problems in marriage, and it's like, you guys never even talked about this before you got married. It's amazing that that they didn't work through those before. And so you want to make sure that religion, you agree on the same things and same principles, because if not, it's going to come back. And how do you compromise on that? I've talked to a lot of people like, yeah, we go to a Lutheran church. How come? Well, I grew up Methodist and she grew up Presbyterian, so we go to a Lutheran. Okay, I guess. Religion is not something you want to compromise on. It's something you want to know what you believe and live that and do that. Okay? We are talking about communication and children and in-laws and religion. Big one is finances. I've never counseled a marriage yet where finances was not a part of the issue. Doesn't matter if they have money or don't have money. It seems like that love of money all seems to creep in. And we can tell you, not having money can create issues. Okay. What happens if you have one checking account and there's $20 in there and I spend it on gas and she spent it on food? Now what?
Yeah, then we're overdrawn.
Now we're broke. Now we have negative money in the bank. Now we have to pay for the overdraft. And like, why did you spend? We had to have food. We had to have gas. And so not having money can really create issues and problems in dealing with that. And we've had financial problems with church and life. For 5 years, I didn't take a salary pastoring our church because of the financial things the church was going through. So I didn't take a salary for 5 years. That caused a lot of financial problems. But it's amazing through that, we did not fuss and fight about that because, okay, we're going to stay together on this and do what we need to do. We made it through, and what a blessing it is. But finances definitely is a problem. And you want to make sure you have budgets. You want to make sure you have the same principles that you live by so those finances can be handled the right way and done and be a blessing. And then the last one, what's the last one? I forget.
Oh, I do too.
Really? Oh, wow. I set myself up for that.
Yeah,
the last one is intimacy. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, so we won't go into that now. If you missed it, go back a couple Fridays ago where we talked about intimacy. By the way, on these podcasts, you can look up and see how many downloads, how many people listen to them. For some reason, that one had double the amount listened to it than the other Friday ones have. Why would that be?
wanted to know.
They wanted to know. It's an interesting topic, okay? It is. And there's so much in the Bible about that. And I would encourage you to make sure that's right. And explain it this way. God put two people together who were totally different backgrounds, totally different life, totally different thinking, a man and a woman, different. God didn't just take a man and change a couple things. He took a rib from man and totally created a new creature. And it's different. And so if those two people can learn to live together and work together through the children problems and the financial problems and the religion problems and the communication problems and the in-law problems and all of those things, then at the end of that, there's a wonderful, sweet reward and blessing for the marriage. And so I would encourage you to make sure these things are right so that intimacy can be right. And we have a couples activity coming up for Valentine's Day weekend. And if you follow the normal podcast, you heard this week, I talk about a number one worker. And I'm going to end with this on the intimacy. So this is what I'm speaking on Friday night. Saturday night. So if anybody hears it before, you'll hear it twice. So, but number one worker, there's four things. And I'm going to go through quickly through it because you can listen to it. Number four worker, they don't do what they're told. Number three worker, they do what they're told. Then you have to go find them. Number two worker, they do what they're told. Then they come back and say, now what, boss? And number one worker, you don't have to tell them what to do, because they look for what needs to be done and they do it, okay? Here's my challenge to you this Valentine's Day weekend in the intimacy, okay? A number four lover, the bad lover. They won't even do the basic that they need to do to satisfy the needs of their spouse. Bad, bad, bad. You are defrauding your husband or your wife. It happens on both sides. Bad. Number three lover, they'll do the basic, but that's about it, okay? And you got to ask or beg or plead sometimes to get that. That's not a good lover. You don't want to be that for your spouse. Number two lover, that's a good lover. They're always there, and they're ready to do whatever the need is. You're going to have a good marriage. If the husband's that way, honey, do you need me? I'm here for you. Wife, honey, do you need me? I'm here for you. That's a number two lover, and that's going to be a good, strong marriage. But a number one lover, guess what? They don't have to ask or look or plead or beg. The number one lover is looking for needs and is willing to fulfill it without even being asked. That's the number one worker in a workspace. That's the number one lover in a marriage space. And that's what you want to be. Why don't you look and strive to be what your husband or what your wife needs you to be by striving to be a number one lover? What does that mean? That means not having to be told or even asked. Just be willing to be there for your spouse to take care of their needs in whatever way they need it. How does that sound?
It sounds great.
Sounds great. All right. So, hey, go thou and do likewise, okay? Go be a number one lover for your spouse and to create that. Now, if you listen to this and go, okay, yep, we got that problem. Yep, we got that problem. Yep, we got that problem. And you need some help, then go to fixfamiliesinstitute.com. Fixfamiliesinstitute.com. There's a few things there that are just on that page. There's a free training called What If My Spouse Doesn't Want to Fix Our Marriage? You can get that for free. Many times, one spouse wants to fix it, the other one doesn't have a clue. So you can listen to that for free. There's a place where you can click on to fill out an application for a free one-on-one marriage counseling session. Would love to help with that. Click there, you'll see that, and you can do that. If you want to do something interesting, it's not in the main section, but on the top tabs, one that says divorce assessment. Okay, you want to take that. What is the assessment? What are the chances that our marriage could end in divorce? There's 20 questions, pretty detailed, but it'll be helpful. And if you need help, then you can go from there. And so if you'd like to do a free one-on-one marriage coaching session, I would love to help you and see if we can be a help to you. There's a marriage program that I promise you would greatly help any marriage, no matter where it's at. If you've got on a 1 to 10, you got an 8, I mean, you got a great marriage. Hey, how about a 9 or a 10? Wouldn't that be awesome? If you got a 1 or a 2 marriage and you wonder if you're going to make it, boy, we better real quick get in there and do some things to be able to help your marriage and be what it needs to be. So, all right, any other problems that I have? I mentioned the 6 problems you have with me. Any other problems that you can think of?
No.
Okay. And she's laughing, but let's see. I wonder how serious that is. So, all right. Well, enjoy this. You take care and you go to fixfamiliesinstitute.com and click around whatever you need. There's some help there. We'd love to help you if we can. All right. God bless you. We'll see you next time. And hey, let us know how the mic was. God bless.